It is Ryan Seacrest here. People always say it's good to unwind, but that's easier said than done. The exception, Chumba Casino. They actually make it easier done than said, or at least the same. Chumba Casino is an online social casino with hundreds of casino-style games like slots and blackjack. Play for fun. Play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Sign up now and collect your free welcome bonus at chumbacasino.com. Sponsored by Chumba Casino. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply.
Why choose a Sleep Number smart bed?
Can I make my side softer?
Can I make my side firmer?
Can we sleep cooler?
Sleep Number does that. Cools up to 8 times faster and lets you choose your ideal comfort on either side. Your Sleep Number setting. And now, during our Black Friday sale, save 50% on the Sleep Number Limited Edition smart bed. Plus special financing. Limited time. To find a store near you, visit sleepnumber.com.
You're listening to Mile High Insiders with Nick Kendall and Luke Patterson. Head on over to milehighhuddle.com for all things Broncos. Now, it's time to find out what's going on behind the walls of UC Health Training Center.
Broncos country, what is going on? It's Wednesday night. It's time for another edition of MHI. Man, we've got a lot we've got to get into. We're going to get into those nasty Pittsburgh Steeler leftovers. Scott was at the game. I was at the game. Tom, I need to hear you react to the horrible opening home opener. Ruin the MHH meet and greet undefeated streak for crying out loud.
But before
we do any of that, he's Thomas Hall. Tom, how you doing?
I'm doing good. Yeah, you know, just I'm just this close away to get, we're almost in our house. So finally, finally, I won't be from a basement much longer.
I know. I'm going to miss guessing where you're from. I know Scott's not going to miss the camping. It's just one of these things where we're coming to an end. I don't know how long the Broncos, if they're going to come to an end, if it's going to be early, it's getting late real early, right? Something like that. Dylan Von Ark's coming in here, man. DVA, it was great to see you. Sat at the entire game. Well, almost the entire game. We knew what was up in the fourth quarter. Good to see Dylan over at milehighhuddle.com. Read about his power rankings or lack thereof for your Denver Broncos saying, what's up, Broncos country? Please make sure you hit that like button on the way in. Share on all platforms and subscribe if you have not done so already. Tom, I was telling you before Scott hopped in, before we started the show, I've never been to an opening game that had the worst energy. And that's what we witnessed. The MHH meet and greet, all four quarters for those unsufferable Broncos country lost souls that stayed. It was just absolutely disgusting to watch an inept offense sometimes march up and down the field for absolutely nothing.
Yeah, I mean, there's not much to say, really. I mean, there was excitement, but that excitement faded quickly in week one. So people fell back to earth knowing that, okay, this is going to be a rebuild. This is a season that's not going to generate a lot of wins. Bo Nix is going to have a lot of growing pains. But on top of it, Sean Payton looked not like he didn't know what he was doing in week one. So that the one piece of this whole pie is Sean Payton was going to, you know, resurrect this franchise. He's an offensive genius. He's going to change the culture. It's going to be a winning culture. And he fell flat on his face against a first-time head coach. So I think that took a lot of air out of the enthusiasm for the Broncos. I think that they're going to be better at the end of the year than they are at the start. I still kind of think that, but man, it didn't look good. It has not looked good. So my enthusiasm, the little that I had, has waned considerably.
Well, you would have fit in perfectly with Broncos country at the stadium because people were pissed. They spent their hard-earned dollars. I mean, I was sitting there with Orange and Blue View podcast, both of them, Ron White and Dylan Von Ark. You could catch those guys every Saturday night at 6 p.m. Mountain on these very airwaves. I'm sitting with those guys. I'm sitting with my guy, Kenneth Booker, and we were just miserable. outside of what, getting into the red zone. That was great. And then absolutely nothing. It's Sean Payton to me. And you know, I'm a Sean Payton guy, but he's got so much egg on his face right now. I can't wipe it off for him. What is he doing? Why is he putting all the pressure on his first round rookie quarterback, Bo Nix? Is it because he just is so hell bent on proving people wrong? Does his ego matter that much to him, or are the Broncos just that bad? We're going to get into all of that and more. But before we do, kicking us off in the super chats, David. What's up, David? We missed you at the MHH meet and greet this year. Hopefully we catch you next time. Good evening, Broncos country. Luke, Tom, and Deacon Scott Buckham, MHH for life. He's still in on SEAL Team Knicks, and he's not going to give up on our Denver Broncos. Yeah, it's bad right now, David. It's tough. I know you're not giving up, and Tom's right. This is about rookie mistakes, but it's bigger than Bo Nix. We'll get into that and more. Michael Ronquillo coming in on Facebook. Good evening, Thomas and Luke on the Mile High Insiders. Go Bo Broncos. Tom, who is to blame for the last 2 weeks? Is it Bo Nix or Sean Payton? Because I know it's not Vance Joseph. I can't believe I'm saying that, but hot damn it, Thomas Hall, it is not Vance Joseph's fault. The Broncos are 0-2 for the second consecutive year in a row under head coach Sean Payton.
Well, it has to fall on Sean Payton. I mean, he's the leader of this team. He's the head coach. It's his philosophy. He's calling the plays. He has built – there's only a few players left that he didn't have, or George Payton didn't have a hand in. You know, he has his hand-picked rookie quarterback who he was telling everybody that he tricked Minnesota into going after JJ so that he could get that specific quarterback that he wanted. So it's on him. And his play calling has been lackluster. His ability to get his one offensive playmaker involved is lacking. I mean, Marvin Mims, what? He went from 12 plays to 9 on offense from week 1 to week 2, even though Sean Payton said we have to figure out a way to get more involved. So it the buck stops at Sean Payton, and it really does. And that's where the blame has to be. He's got to be better. He's got to be a better leader and a better coach.
I'm talking to the fellas. We're watching the game, and I said, it just feels to me like Sean Payton's trying to be the smartest guy in the room, the smartest guy on the field. And instead of executing the principles of an offense that has earned him so much success in the NFL, he won a Super Bowl, for crying out loud. He's abandoned almost all of those offensive principles that got him to where he's at. I just don't understand it. It feels stubborn. It's ultimately going to ruin a rookie's confidence. Bo Nix is going to start seeing ghosts out there, people, if this keeps going on. I mean, the offensive line has looked like absolute hell up front for Bo. You lost Mike McGlinchey. I know you're excited to see your guy, Alex Palcheski. We'll talk about the Broncos offensive line and more here in the show. But before we do, a huge tip of the cap to Eric Flynn, giving us some support over on Facebook, guys. We really appreciate the support. Anything you can give, we appreciate. Your time is the most valuable thing. Thank you for tuning in every Wednesday night to Tom, Scott, and I. David, circling back around on YouTube. Thanks, David. Elway, John Elway, that is, went 3-13 in his rookie year. I hear you, David. Let's not go comparing Bo Nix to John Elway quite yet, but I see the point. We're 0-2. We're in a familiar place. But, Tom, when I say we're in a familiar place, the Broncos are losing by one possession game still. That's where we're at. Russell Wilson's gone. He was carrying a clipboard. I saw it with my own two eyes last week. And yet here we are, same situation. And people are actually starting to wonder, was Russ the problem? I don't want to get into the whole Russell Wilson angle and turn this to the Russell Wilson show, but they have a point. Sean Payton's not getting it done.
Yeah. Well, just one correction. I believe that John Elway was more like 8-8 or 9-7 that first year, but he's right. You can't expect Bo Nix to put all of this on his shoulders as a rookie, having started one game, now to move this team in the right direction. I mean, the running game is non-existent, and that's two reasons. It's just not very effective. And Sean Payton completely abandoned it in week 1 after halftime, pretty much. And I was since I'm out on the East Coast, I was actually seeing the Patriots play the Seahawks this last weekend. They should have won that game. Blocked field goal is what saved them. But they didn't abandon the run, and they actually had a chance to win it. And it was a completely different, completely different game by continuing to stick with the run. So, man, you can't put this much pressure on your rookie quarterback to raise the boats, number one, especially when you have no playmakers on offense. There isn't a playmaker on offense that's being utilized. You can't expect him to do it. So I'm not giving up on Bo Nix. I see an improvement. I think he can still be a good quarterback in the right circumstances, but not these aren't the right circumstances and the way it's been the way he's been used.
No, it's time to worry. It's time to panic a little bit, Aaron Broncos country, because of the way it's been. Hasn't been the fact that they've lost games. What, four interceptions in two games for Bo Nix, still searching for his first throwing touchdown? Yeah, he got the four-yarder up in Seattle. But times are tough here in Broncos country. And look, Javonte Williams saying, I'm not worried about the offense. I wrote an article about it over at milehighhuddle.com. Check it out. Javonte, we are. I'm glad you're not worried. But speaking of not being worried, guys, Mint Mobile has our back. With big wireless providers, what you see is never what you get. Sometimes between the store and your first month's bill, the price you thought you were paying magically skyrockets. With Mint Mobile, you'll never have to worry about those gotchas ever again. When Mint Mobile says $15 a month when you purchase a three-month plan, they mean it. Say bye-bye to your overpriced wireless plans, jaw-dropping monthly bills, and unexpected overages.
To get this new customer offer and your new three-month premium wireless plan for just $15 a month, go to mintmobile.com/huddle. That's mintmobile.com/huddle. Cut your wireless bills to $15 a month at mintmobile.com/huddle. $45 upfront payment required, equivalent to $15 per month. New customers on first three-month plan only. Speed slower above 40 gigabytes on unlimited plan. Additional taxes, fees, and restrictions apply. See Mint Mobile for details.
Boom. It is Wednesday night. He is Thomas Hall. I am Luke Patterson. You are watching MHI. You can catch us every Wednesday night at 6 p.m. Mountain. If you'd like to reach out to Tom, that's at Thomas Hall NFL over on X. Yours truly at Luke Patterson LP. The Broncos are 0-2. They're sending their starting right tackle, Mike McGlinchey, to the injured reserve list, right? They're hoping to get him back in about 4 weeks with an MCL injury. Alex Palcheski stepping right into the starting lineup at right tackle. He did finish the game for the Denver Broncos Sunday, for whatever that was worth, cleanup time rather. That's concerning. Garrett Bowles, he wasn't on the injury report today, Tom, but we know that he was on it last week. Same with Luke Wattenberg. This Broncos offensive line, when you turn on the film, it's atrocious. Even our guy Quinn Miners is out there trying to do too much, not being consistent, a ton of MAs when you turn on the film. It's just disconcerting what you're seeing from this Broncos offensive line. At times, they're opening up some holes. The running game may get 2 or 3 yards, and then we just completely panic, we being Sean Payton and the Broncos coaching staff, and decide to put on a throwing clinic. Tom, why can't the Broncos offensive line run the football?
You got me. They're paid well enough. They should be running the football much better. I mean, they went out and got Ben Powers. They went out and paid big for McGlinchey. There is a hole at center. Wattenberg is still trying to find his footing. They paid Quinn Miners, who's a good run blocker. I mean, I don't know. Like, what is going on? Is it the running backs just, lack of vision and the inability for the offensive line to be consistent? I don't know. It's a mystery, but I will say this: early on, you might struggle, but you got to just keep handing the ball off. You can't just abandon it, because it does sometimes take a little bit of time for these running backs to get rolling.
Yeah, Broncos country sounding off on the offensive play calling, or lack thereof. Monica coming in over on YouTube. Sean Payton's play calling is so vanilla and cheap looking. Teams sit back and pick us apart. Not good for starting a rookie. Monica, you're exactly right. As we're sitting there, we're watching the game. We're watching the Steelers whoop up on the Denver Broncos offense. Say what you want about Vance Joseph. We make fun of him all the time on the show. It's a weekly thing. He's carrying the water for the Denver Broncos right now, his unit, and they're playing good football. We'll get into Zach Allen, some potential matchups with the Tampa Bay Bucks here in a little bit. But it's so vanilla. Monica's exactly right. When he's in shotgun, we know we're throwing it. When we're under center, we're going to run it. The one or two times we're going to do it a series. Jaleel McLaughlin is out there trying to be a ground and pound type running back between the tackles. It's not his game. Javonte Williams is trying to get beyond the tackles and be a speed demon. It's not his game. And I have no clue what's going on with the Broncos offensive line. They seem overwhelmed. Speaking of overwhelmed, where are the Broncos wide receivers? Are they just playing the best defensive backs we've ever seen from the Seattle Seahawks and the Pittsburgh Steelers? I give Minka Fitzpatrick his due, and right, they're playing some good DBs. It's the league. Sure. But Cortland Sutton, where are we at? We're asking questions about Marvin Mims. I wrote an article over about Greg Dulcich today on milehighhuddle.com. It's time to wave the white flag. I've been saying it since training camp. I'm done with Greg Dulcich. He's been atrocious when he is in the football game. Two key drops in that game. And the Broncos offense, they're just looking around at each other. Someone try to make a play. What, Lil Jordan Humphrey, do we want to show up? Adam Trautman, maybe? I mean, where does Sean Payton go in week three with this Broncos offense?
Well, they're going to have to score points because the Bucs offense has actually been scoring some pretty good points. Well, the first week, second week, not so much, but they're playing a much better team. They're going to have to score some points if they have any chance of going East Coast and in a state that they're typically not very good in and beating the Bucs. So they're going to have to figure it out. It's got to start with the running game, but I just don't know if they can get it going. There's something wrong.
There's something wrong with the Broncos offense. We're trying to figure it out over here on MHI. Let's talk Broncos news of the day. Speaking of milehighhuddle.com, head on over there now. We've got an article up. The Broncos elevated outside linebacker DeAndre Tillman from the practice squad up to the Broncos 53-man roster. That meant they signed outside linebacker Andrew Tillman, something like that, signed over to the practice squad. Just a couple transactions today for your Denver Broncos. I guess Broncos news, if we want to look on the bright side of things, Tom, 18 former Denver Broncos nominated for the Hall of Fame, right? Can we that put a smile on our face considering the Broncos offense won't?
Yeah, I mean, it's nice to see it. I looked through the list and I was some of them are head scratchers to me. I mean, there's a bunch of people that get nominated every year, but that list says maybe three that even deserve to actually be in the Hall of Fame. But hey, let's have the conversation anyway. But I think it was 167 nominees this year, which I think might be the most that I've seen on the nominees list since I've been following it. It's a lot.
Yeah, we'll take it. I mean, and when I say we'll take it, we usually get screwed here in Broncos country with the Hall of Fame, you know, voting and your buddies over there always keeping us out. It really drives me crazy, Tom. we don't need to go in there. But no, look at my guy George coming in with a different take over on Facebook. I absolutely love it. George Cruz, appreciate you joining the show. We need to put in Zach Wilson. He's got some experience. I'm not willing to go that far, and Chad wrote a really good article about this up on milehighhuddle.com. I think it was like Forbes, believe it or not, suggesting that Bo Nix needs to be benched. We talked about this before training camp. We talked about it when he was named a starter. We talked about it when he was named a team captain. Once you go this direction with your first-round rookie quarterback and you're two games into the season, I get it, you're 0-2, four interceptions, less than 60% completion rated. I get it. You can't go backwards with benching a Bo Nix. Tom, try to talk me through it. What would you do if you're Sean Payton and you've been struggling as a play caller and your quarterback has been suffering on the field as a two-game starter?
Well, I mean, you don't want to bench him now because this season is about him learning, right? So I guess, I mean, it depends on the philosophy. Some people think that they should sit a while and learn. Others, you know, feed him to the fire and see how he does. But that's the decision that they made. You don't want to go to Zach Wilson now. You just don't, because like I said, you want Bo Nix to learn. How you get him more involved? Well, maybe try some play action. That might help. Even if your running game is not working, at least try a little play action to see if you can, get him some ability to pass the ball without being contested every single time or without having the heat you know, pressuring him. You can't do it.
You can't do play action, though, when you do not commit to a running game at all. I mean, seriously, you know that. And I know I'm putting you in a tough spot, right? I'm begging you for all the answers, Tom, and I don't expect you to give us all of them here on Wednesday night. But that's just it. I mean, I wrote about it in one of my keys last week. It's just you're not going to expect the defense to bite on a play action, a boot, anything funky like that when you've never committed to it in the first half. It's just wasting that precious time you don't even have for the Broncos offense. And it's not getting any easier out there, folks. You're going through the injury report today for your Denver Broncos. Did not practice. Baron Browning was out with a foot. Jonathan Franklin Myers, he's in concussion. Defensive end, right? Brandon Jones, safety. Your new Broncos safety with a foot. Did not practice. Our guy JL Skinner with an ankle. Did not practice. And then limited at practice today was Zach Allen with a shoulder. My favorite, Greg Dulcich with the knee and an ankle. Josh Reynolds still been battling the same Achilles injury since training camp, I'm told. Adam Trautman with a shoulder and Devon Vailey with ribs. So, yeah, not a lot out there for the Broncos offense going against a very good Tampa Bay Buccaneers team. My in-laws live very close to Tampa. They're going to the game, and they're asking, what should we expect? And I'm like, expect a good day for Tampa. I think this is a good game if you're going into it. If you're the Bucs, you're feeling good. Dare we call it a trap game if you're a Broncos fan? I mean, there's no chance here. On the road the next 2 weeks against the Tampa Bay Buccaneers and the New York Jets. You got to turn your mic on, Tom.
Thank you. The problem is well, I mean, you could say it's a trap game, but it's pretty early in the season to be doing that, I think. But the problem is
all I've got.
The Broncos, they don't travel to the East Coast well. They haven't. They have a tough time in Miami or in Florida in general. And then they got to go to the Jets. For some reason, they have a hard time with the Jets. I don't know. I mean, Zach Wilson beat them last year, you know, in Denver. So it was it's a strange any given Sunday. But the way that the Broncos have been playing, it's hard to see them coming out of this first four games without being 0-4. I mean, it really is tough to see. Maybe 1-3, but that still spells doom for them again, another losing season if they start under 500.
I'm tired of the excuses. Remember waiting around for Jerry Jeudy to be the best thing ever? I do. I wrote about it every summer. Broncos training camp MVP for the offense. I mean, Zach Allen, same thing. Only now we're seeing Zach Allen's having a very productive season, at least, right? Better late than never.
Yeah.
William coming in, pushing back against my Greg Dulcich article in which I preview him as a draft bust. Dulcich has been out a lot. It might take him some time to come up to speed. Hopefully he gets better at blocking too. That was rough. Yeah, he doesn't want to block, so that's an immediate tell when you see Greg Dulcich in the game. Every Broncos fan knows it. So what does the opposing defense know when they see number 80 out there on the field? I don't care about his availability. That's on him. Now, I wrote about it. Is he snake bitten? Is he injury riddled? I'll let you decide. I put the facts in there. And look, he hasn't scored a touchdown since his rookie season. And he scored two then and since, nada. Not even a first down since last year. I mean, these are the facts if you're looking at a Greg Dulcich. Now, do I think Lucas Kroll is the next Travis Kelce? No. But we were promised this joker position from Sean Payton at least last January with Greg Dulcich, and the Broncos are stuck with the punchline. Greg Dulcich is horrible, folks. I'm sorry to say it. He might be the nicest guy ever. He's got a 2% chance of getting a 100-yard game this season per PFF. He's not doing well. Two drops. Now we're dropping the football. He's exhausted all the time. How much time do we got, Will? I don't want Greg Dulcich to be a part of this offense anymore. I would much rather see Donald Parham Jr. in the game. I would much rather see a Lucas Kroll and Adam Trautman. The Nate Atkins, Michael Burton thing, I don't really understand that one. And aren't they kind of the same player? Tom, talk to me about Greg Dulcich in the Broncos tight end room, which sucks.
Well, yeah, I mean, we were saying it to begin with. There's not a single difference maker in that tight end room. Dulcich has the traits, but he has never put it together. So it doesn't matter if you have elite traits or not, if you can't actually put it together on the field, whether it's because of injury or drops or whatever, you know, whatever the poison is for the week, it doesn't matter what his traits are. So we can sit here and talk about, oh, put Lucas Kroll in, or we can put Darnold Parham. None of them have elite skill set at this point in their career. They're all, kind of average, what I would call average. They can maybe start, they can come in, but none of them are going to scare a defensive coordinator. So if you swap out Dulcich, fine. But it's not going to give you a huge lift in my mind.
It should, considering your quarterback doesn't have any time to throw it deep ever. Can we get a short pass? I mean, I love the little Texas route, right? I love halfback swing, all those sort of little things. But sooner or later, just checking it down to the running back 5 yards in the middle of the field, it's just not going to cut it. But guys, speaking of something, never cut it with Manscaped. All right, guys, it's the best time of the year. Football's back. We're talking NFL Sundays, college football Saturdays, and that glorious grind of fantasy football lineups. This is where your inner GM comes alive, setting the perfect fantasy roster, screaming at your TV, and making last-minute waiver moves that either make you a hero or the guy everyone ridicules in the group chat.
But listen, while you're over here making sure your fantasy team is dialed in, don't let your personal grooming become the guy that gets left on the bench. Let's be honest, nobody wants to fumble their grooming routine. That's where Manscaped Performance Package 5.0 Ultra comes in, acting as your all-in-one grooming playbook. From keeping things sharp down below with the Lawnmower 5.0 Ultra to taking care of those rogue nose and ear hairs with the Weed Whacker 2.0, this is the lineup that'll keep you looking and feeling like a champ on and off the field.
Join over 10 million men worldwide who trust Manscaped and get ready for kickoff by heading over to manscaped.com. Use the code HUDDLE for 20% off and free shipping. Trust me, you'll be drafting the real MVP of grooming this season.
Get 20% off plus free shipping with the code HUDDLE at manscaped.com. That's 20% off plus free shipping with the code HUDDLE at manscaped.com. Stay on top of your grooming game and be ready for anything the season throws your way.
Boom. What is thrown our way in week 3? Well, the Broncos are hitting the road. They go off to Tampa, and then from there, they have a date with the Jets the following Sunday. A brutal 2-week road game trip, just getting into the nitty-gritty of the schedule, and you're down 0-2. Tom, you had a very interesting tweet a couple of days ago reacting to the Broncos' most recent loss, their home opener. They're 0-2, and it was an interesting stat about Sean Payton. You know what I'm referring to? I'd love for you to share it on the show.
Well, I'm assuming you're talking about his win-loss record and what in early. Yeah. So, yeah, his teams, if he is under 500 in the first 4 games, his team has never had a winning record at the end of the year. So take it as what you will. It was first time for everything. But in 07, he was 0-4, went 7-9. Can't really count 2012 because he was suspended for Bounty Gate. But then, 14, 15, and 16 started 1-3, ended 7-9. And then, of course, 0-4 here last year and ended up 8-9. I mean, it's just, it paints a bleak picture. If they lose this weekend, they're 1-3 in best. And, it's another losing season, most likely.
Yeah, and it's unacceptable. I don't give it any excuses, and I don't give Sean any excuses. I'm not giving him a rookie year with Bo. We gave him a gimme year with Russ last year. This can't go on forever. Right. What, it's going to be, okay, it's Russell Wilson, so you got to give him a year. No, let's try something different. Oh, we're going to draft a first-round rookie quarterback in Bo Nix. Let's give him a year. No, what, we're going to draft another quarterback next year just so we can give him another year? I mean, sooner or later, you're going to get going or you're going to get gone. And that applies to Sean Payton as well. Broncos sitting at 0-2. I mean, you're hoping at least they were 1-1 heading into week 3 with, yeah. I know it's a tough game with the Pittsburgh Steelers. They're the best traveled fan base in all of the NFL. That damn terrible towel was everywhere. It's just absolutely brutal, Tom. And heading into Tampa down 0-2 again, with a steep climb, is just so discouraging for Broncos country right now. And they want to see their rookie quarterback grow. They're looking for those improvements, but there's no excuse for a guy like Cortland Sutton, who's not producing. There's no excuse for a Greg Dulcich, who still hasn't shown up in year 3. There's no excuse for Sean Payton, who's previously won a Super Bowl, and yet we still have to let him get by on that all these years later. It's done, dude. Broncos country has no more patience. Give me something positive. Why should Broncos country feel excited to play the Tampa Bay Buccaneers this Sunday on the road?
Well, there's, you know, like I said, any given Sunday, you never know. Everything might just click the right way. The balls might bounce their way and they, you know, they come away with a win. The one thing I will say is, you know, you got Zach Allen's finally starting to come around, which I was hoping he did last year, but he's looking like we thought he was going to last year. He's coming to his own. He's hitting that kind of prime for defensive line players in his career. So that's a huge boon. But you know, then you that's what else you got? That's the problem, is him and nobody else.
Yeah, well, you're going to need him, right? 13 pass rushes in 2 weeks. That's tied for fourth best in the NFL with some guy named Chris Jones out of Kansas City. I mean, Zach Allen's doing his best, but you're right. It's that best isn't good enough because the offense still isn't scoring any points and not even getting in field goal range anymore. I mean, that was a problem. I didn't see that happening. I mean, Will Lutz was out there, kicking 3-4 field goals on a hostile turf in Seattle, and we can't get into field goal range to save our lives for the Denver Broncos multiple times. I mean, it's getting late real early around here.
Yeah. And the problem really, from my perspective, is as the season wears on and they're not able to generate an offense, you're going to start to see some of your defensive players get injured. Because they're going to be out there all the time. They're going to be banging around all the time. It's just more chance for them to get injured. So as the year rolls on, that defense is probably going to look less and less like it looks now. Well, and you can get lucky, but the more you're out there on the field, the more chance you have to be injured. So
listen, that's a great point. Jonathan Franklin Myers today didn't practice with a concussion. Brandon Jones, new starting safety, didn't practice with a foot. I mean, you're exactly right. Zach Allen, we're just singing his praise. The big dog's banged up with a shoulder. He did practice today. He was limited. I mean, you're exactly right. It's not getting any easier. And Chad Jensen, man, had an absolute blast at the 2024 MHH meet and greet. Very gracious host. We appreciate it, Chad. Looking forward to many more for years to come with a generous 20. Thanks for holding it down, MHI. Head on over to milehighhuddle.com. Read Chad Jensen's latest, the pretty good article out there right now. Some guys are calling for Bo Nix to be benched. Yeah. What's Chad Jensen and Mile High Huddle think? Head on over to milehighhuddle.com. Read all about it. It's brutal. Here's the defense has been playing quite well. I know that they haven't played any world beaters on offense with Justin Fields and Geno Smith. This is going to be a really good test for the Broncos defense. If you're a Broncos fan, you should be excited for hopefully a good matchup on that side of the ball. Pastor Tan, what are we doing? Which receiver are we locking up? I think he needs to be on Mike Evans full time. I do not want to see Riley Moss get mossed by one of the best receivers in the NFL right now in Mike Evans. Now, Chris Godwin, another good receiver, that's probably going to be Riley Moss's target. Maybe it's going to be looking something similar to a Tyler Lockett, DK Metcalf type game, and that's a win for the Broncos defense, assuming the offense and special teams can keep them in the game with enough points. What do you think of the defensive matchup as Vance Joseph defense travels to Tampa?
Yeah, like I said earlier, I'm going to hold out jumping on the Vance Joseph bandwagon until they play a better offense. And that's a better offense is going to be in Tampa right now. I mean, the Pittsburgh Steelers, their offense was pretty lackluster. So is Seattle in both weeks. So, but Tampa Bay can light it up when they get going. So I want to see what Vance Joseph defense does against a more formidable offense. I don't think they're going to get, I mean, I don't know. I mean, you never know what you're going to get with Vance Joseph. I mean, I was looking last year at some of the games after Miami was doing really good and then just got completely obliterated by the Lions, you know, in Detroit. So we'll see which defense shows up. But I think that they have on defense, they seem to be coming up with some sort of kind of more elite talent. So you got Pat Surtain, Zach Allen starting to come around. But, you know, then you're getting these injuries. So who knows who's going to step up? I think Benito is going to have to be the one that steps up in this game in order for the Broncos to kind of slow down that passing attack for the Bucs.
Yeah, and we'll see what the secondary looks like, right? How good are they? Because Baker's going to be scrambling. That's what he likes to do. He's a short little guy, right? He likes to get out of the pocket. He's getting better in his older age, right, at settling down and trying to sling some in there a little bit. But it's a great test for this Broncos defense. Now, I'm not on the Vance Joseph bandwagon, Tom. How dare you make that assumption about me? I'm just saying that the guy's defense hasn't been the issue or the reason that they've lost the last 2 weeks. Can they improve? Absolutely. Are they top 10? I don't even think so. I'm not going to go look at the stats because, like you, I need to see it first. But, man, it's going to be an interesting test. Tampa, then the Jets, that dang Aaron Rodgers. He's such a peculiar guy. He could still sling it. And yeah, something about the Jets and the Broncos. I feel like nightmare games happen with the Jets and the Broncos. And whether it's here, whether it's on the road, the Jets, like the Steelers, like the Seahawks, have had the Broncos number. I'm trying to think the last time the Broncos and the Bucs played a regular season game. And was it the game that Paxton Lynch was crying? Is it that game where he's over there crying on the sideline?
Man, yeah. I don't remember the last time they played the Bucs. Yeah, but
I'm going for a deep pull. I try to find those little obscure facts and put them in my keys to victory. They can read about over at milehighhuddle.com every week. Haven't found that one out yet. Obviously, I'll be writing that one tomorrow. But no, it's interesting when you look at the matchup and the history of the teams, right? I think I saw Kliss over on X. He was campaigning for the Broncos to wear their orange jerseys, right? Because it was kind of odd last week, Tom. The Broncos are in their whites at home. And, we're trying to make the Steelers feel like they're hot in the black. And, well, that obviously helped.
Yeah, it was strange for a home opener to be in white. I mean, I get when you're in, you know, Miami does it. It's hot, you know. You know, if you're in these hot, humid areas. But I don't know what the temperature was in Denver, but it didn't seem like it was necessary to play that kind of game. But, you know, it just seemed weird being in white at home.
Oh, man, it looked like it looks like Tampa beat Denver in week two of the 2020 NFL season. That was the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, if memory serves, because that was in Denver, September 27th of 2020. Yeah, it's interesting when you look up like the history. Thank you, Scott. Appreciate that. But no, Bo's got to play better. What can Bo Nix do? One of my keys last week, obviously Sean didn't care. You got to mobilize the young man. He can run. Let's run it with him. Let's get basic. I know the kids today can't stand that. I don't know about your girls, but like my daughter and all her little friends, that's basic. This is basic. And I'm like, since when is basic bad? If we're looking at the Broncos offense, I would take basic. Let's go for some single handoffs. They're out there on the power eye. Let's stay with it. Let's do some counters. Let's pull a little, something simple. We can even do some pre-snap motions, something we've talked about on this show. Something simple. We're not trying to reinvent the wheel, Sean, which I feel like you've tried to do the last 2 weeks, and ultimately it ends up biting you. I would love to see Bo Nix hit the road. And what I mean by that, get out on the edge and try to get a first down. He's a smart runner. He protects himself with the perimeter. If he does take a shot, well, I hope he's okay, but it's going to be a 15-yard penalty on top of that too, all right? So I'm not asking him to be Lamar Jackson, Tom, but what I would like to see different out of Bo Nix and Sean Payton immediately, can we get him going? One, two reads, and then get gone. And if you need to throw it away, let's do that. But we can't have any more red zone turnovers.
Well, and be a little bit more creative too. Like, just the offense is no creativity. I mean, this Sean Payton has, everyone's been saying he's an offensive genius. That's you know, we were sold that he's offensive genius, but there's no creativity whatsoever. It's a predictable offense with zero creativity. It doesn't, you know, just change it up, be a little bit more creative. You don't have to have exotic plays that have super long, you know, names for them or whatever they're calling it, the, you know, that's, they got to take 15 seconds to talk through the whole freaking play. Just be a little bit more creative. But, you know, like you said, it doesn't have to be exotic. Just simple but creative would be great.
KW coming in here, and I absolutely love this take because I agree with it. Sean Payton would rather lose throwing 35 times for 350 yards than running 25 times for 175 yards. That's exactly what it feels like, KW. And people were saying that in the stadium at Empower Field. I mean, it was so predictable. You're exactly right. I mean, under center, we're running it, or it's a quick throw. There was no time to set up any down the field passes, maybe one or two. And then time was too late. It repeated the script almost exactly when you look at the running back splits between Javonte Williams and Jaleel McLaughlin. Only they were in reverse, guys. Absolutely horrible. I wrote about it at MHH. It's just there's no commitment there. It makes your offensive line have anxiety. It makes them even more inconsistent than they already are. They're overpaid, obviously, and Mike McGlinchey going to the IR is familiar. Again, a lot of familiar things right now, but Sean Payton has to get this game going, and if he doesn't, then I'm afraid you're right. Injuries are going to start adding up. You're going to keep seeing a hero ball type of offense from Bo Nix. It's not who he is. We're trying to ease. This is how we ease our rookie into the NFL, huh? We're just going to make him throw it a million times in two games and think that that's going to continue to work. If Sean Payton doesn't change something here in week three, his second season here in Denver, Colorado, people are going to be calling for a different play caller. I don't see Sean ever surrendering that job, Tom, but people are going to be calling for it. I was already having chats with people at the MHH meet and greet. What does Joe Lombardi do? What does Davis Webb do? What do they do? Because Sean Payton and the play calling just doesn't work.
Yeah, I mean, something's got to give. I don't know what it is, but again, I was saying this from the beginning of the offseason. This roster is not as good as people have made it out to be. There's no playmakers really at the skills position, but at least give them the opportunity. You know, be creative at how you can get them into some separation for the wide receivers. You know, it just doesn't seem to be creative in that respect where, you know, and then also, you know, put your playmakers out on the field, get Marvin Mims involved. I don't care if it's a disgruntled problem or not. You're the leader of this team. You need to fix it. That's what a leader does. They are able to mend those, whatever's broken so that you can actually have him out on the field. So, I mean, for me, there's got to be a little creativity, and you can't just rely on Bo Nix as a rookie quarterback to throw the ball a bunch. I mean, you just got to be committed to the run, and you just got to keep doing it. You just can't just abandon it like he's been doing. You have to keep running the ball.
Yeah, and you've got to just surrender where it's not working, right? It's not working with Greg Dulcich, okay? I'm sorry. He's not the Joker that Taysom Hill was over in New Orleans, okay? He's not Jimmy Graham. He's not Jeremy Shockey. He's not Jason Witten. Three tight ends that Sean Payton coached at three different places, okay? I don't care if he one day you think he could be. He's not, all right? Just like Jerry Jeudy wasn't Emmanuel Sanders either, okay? Like, he's not. And yet we continue to kick the can down the road. Javonte Williams, I love Javonte. I want him to do well. I don't know what's going on with this guy. I think if Audric Estime was healthy, maybe Audric Estime is the starter at this point. Jaleel McLaughlin is being completely misused, in my opinion. They're trying to treat him like he's Alvin Kamara, and he's not. you got to get this guy in space, just like Marvin Mims. Your wide receivers that you just absolutely had to have, Lil Jordan Humphrey, I mean, nothing. Cortland Sutton, nothing. Josh Reynolds still trying, but he's battling out there an Achilles injury since training camp. It's on the practice injury report today. I mean, yeah, Sean, you've got to be better. There's no excuses here. The special teams unit looks better. They haven't let Broncos country down yet. I don't think the defense has let Broncos country down yet. So what's the one thing that's standing in the way of the Broncos earning their first victory? It's not Bo Nix. It's not. I'm not making excuses for Bo, but Bo doesn't get to call the plays, okay? He doesn't have that freedom. Nobody does. Sean makes sure of that. It's Sean Payton. Sean is paying way too much attention to what could be 3 years down the road than trying to plan for one single game.
Yeah, and that's the other thing that the head coach has to do, right? It's his vision, and he needs to make sure that it's executed out on the field, and that's not happening either. The execution by the offense has been very poor. Now, I know that individual players do, you know, they mess up, they drop a pass, whatever, but that's still on coaching. That execution out there has got to be instilled in training camp all through preseason. And it's like they just put in these exotic plays or whatever, and they just didn't figure out how to actually play football.
Yeah, I mean, I'm shocked when I'm turning on the film looking at Quinn Meinerz. I don't know if that new contract has him doing too much, if he thinks all of a sudden he needs to take too much responsibility on playing next to Luke Wattenberg. What's it going to look like now with Alec Palcheski on his side? I mean, a lot of disappointment, not a lot of positives from a lot of players. Even Pat Surtain, I was disappointed with some plays out there. Now, very good player. I'm not blaming this on PS2 either, but there's some PI penalties out there that I'm thinking, come on, man, you know better than that. They're going to call that every time. You're a DB. You're not a wideout. David circling back around a $2 super. My bad. 4-7. Always rookie year. Never your bad, David. We appreciate you. And make sure Tom's spitting the facts, David. I don't know about some of his stats sometimes. We need to get some clarification. But no, it's brutal when we have to make positive conversation for the Denver Broncos about the 18 former Denver Broncos nominated for the Hall of Fame. We found that out today when we're talking about John Elway and how he struggled, but then ultimately he turned it around. Not a good sign for Bo Nix and Sean Payton heading into week 3.
Well, I mean, let's just go back. I mean, John Elway started off rough, but you know, I think his first 16 games he was 8-8 or 9-7. Not counting, you know, you got split it over 2 years.
Bo Nix is Sean Elway.
He turned it around. He improved. But the problem is Bo Nix does not have the talent John Elway has. He just doesn't. I mean, John Elway was oozing talent. So it's hard to compare, you know, past quarterbacks to what could be with Bo Nix. Bo Nix has to be given more help. I mean, John Elway, you know, when you watched him play, he put the team on his back, not his rookie year, but as he got better. I don't know if Bo Nix is that type of player. He has to be in a good specific offense that's creative, that gets people open, gets people into space so that they get yards after catch.
Well, let me push back on that. We don't know if he is that type of player, put the offense on his back, just to go over a game like a Lamar Jackson does, like a Josh Allen does, right? Like some of the Patrick Mahomes, right? John Elway, to your point. Does he have the authority to take over the offense or a game? I mean, and I don't ask that trying to be facetious or anything, but does he have handcuffs by Sean Payton? You're going to call my play, damn it. And this is what we're going to do. And if you don't, I'm going to scream at you like Russell Wilson last year. Now, those are two different conversations. But seriously, does Bo have that ability? Because it seems like Sean lets the handcuffs off when they're losing in the fourth quarter. He's okay with Bo Nix running, right? And adding and padding those rushing yard stats. He's okay with it then, but he's not okay with it in the first half. Does Bo Nix have the authority to run an offense under Sean Payton?
It seemed like, in the Seattle game, it seemed like he had handcuffed him pretty heavily. I think he's starting to let that loose. I think that's the one thing that I would say about the difference is he was allowed to do a little bit more, it seemed like. It just seemed like he was being handled with the kids' gloves to begin with. But I mean, I'm not trying to knock Nix. I mean, the guy's a rookie, second game, and he's improved. So that's important. But you know, like you said at the very beginning, you can't have him throw 42 times a game. You can't have him playing hero ball. He's got to have some help. But you know, I think there's improvement with Bo Nix, and I think we'll see it again. We'll keep seeing it.
Where at? And I know you haven't got to the film yet. You've been very busy. You're closing on a house. You've had a major life change in moving across the country. I know you haven't seen the film just yet, but just to be devil's advocate, because I agree with you, Tom. I think we're seeing these rookie mistakes. I think you're seeing a rookie that cares. I think Bo cares. I think he puts in the work. I think he's prepared. It's nice to not have to worry about that, but nice things and winning football games are two different things. And I don't want to keep making excuses for Bo. What, we had 2 interceptions in week 1. Okay. Then we're going to have 2 interceptions in week 2. We're just under that 60% completion percentage. I mean, where do you think Bo Nix got better From week one to week two specifically.
Yeah, I think his accuracy was a little bit better. I do think the interceptions that he threw in the first game were kind of bad decision interceptions. Where, I mean, the one of them was, I think, was like a, kind of like a last minute toss that got intercepted. So, back, I mean, those happen. So he improved there. I think his passes down the field were better. I mean, last in Seattle, I think he threw like, I think it was 15, maybe 8 or 15 passes. I can't remember. And almost all of them were incomplete. Two of them were interceptions. So he got better throwing the ball, you know, a little farther down the field. I mean, I'm not saying he improved dramatically. But there was improvement. You need to see small improvements from him throughout the year. And that's why he should be playing. And that's why you're not benching him for Zach Wilson. You've got to see him improve. Now, next week, he could take a step back. You never know. But well, you want to see that consistent improvement. And that's what I'm seeing so far. It's only two games.
Yeah, I'd agree with you. You're right. You want to see those steps going forward. We don't want to be going backwards. And I suppose you could make the argument, right, with another loss. And if you just looked at the box score and the stats, and I haven't honed into Bo Nix in the game film either. I was looking at the old line today. It's you can't do it all at once, right, as everybody knows. But, yeah, there's some little things that are bothering Broncos country. I know they bother me, and they bother people that know offenses a lot better than me. But, you know, not getting your feet set. Getting your feet underneath you, not stepping into your throw, climbing that pocket. I mean, some of those things, I think I can explain them with nerves. I think you see a quarterback out there who's got some happy feet with Bo Nix because he knows he needs to go on the road and start moving as soon as the ball is snapped. Now, that's something you can correct. That's something that will settle down with time. It's interesting, right? When you look at the rookie quarterbacks, and rookie quarterbacks don't just come into the league and have a ton of success. And we're seeing it right now. Jaden Daniels, I think, is probably doing the best over in Washington. My favorite quarterback prospect, by the way, Caleb Williams, not whatever you guys want to say about Caleb Williams.
None are playing well. No, I mean, the rookie quarterbacks are playing terrible. There's no doubt about it.
No, yeah. So and Bo Nix is arguably the worst of the bunch when you're looking at it. And it's just absolutely brutal. And here's my guy, KB, coming in on the show. You can catch KB with Eric Trickle on Friday nights. The offense was so bad, I chose to play solitaire on my phone late in the third. And I was making fun of him for it, people. I was just like, damn, Ken's over here playing solitaire. I'm telling Ron, hey, Ron, Dylan, look, this is bad. And it was bad. And KB has been to a lot of Broncos games, okay? Used to work around the stadium there. He's seen some bad games. He's seen some good games. I ask you, KB, what do you make of that energy in that stadium? It was brutal. And there was more orange there than yellow. Steelers fans definitely travel well. But people just look wore out already. And that was the opener, the home opener, and they're wore out. They're staring at the schedule thinking, man, it's going to be a long 2 weeks in Tampa and then New York.
Yeah. I mean, you look at the schedule though, until you get to the Panthers, there's not one that you're like, this should be a game that the Broncos win. So that's a long, you know, and the reason why I still think the reason why people are worn out is because we were excited. Everybody got pumped up. And then they saw that week one, just everything just kind of crumbled. Like it was everything that we could even have thought to go wrong kind of went wrong there. It was just, it was rough, and it deflates it, you know, it after 7 years of getting all hyped up, this is going to be it. And then it not happening. And then, you know, you see that performance in week one, it takes the air out of the fans. It just does, because it looked terrible. It wasn't even the offense was so bad that it was it really is deflating when that's supposed to be Sean Payton's strength.
Well, you know who pumps us up though, and was trying to get the energy back? Our guy Nosh. What's up, Nosh? Saw Nosh at the meet and greet 2 years in a row, baby. And then I got to see Nosh on the Gut Reaction Pod over in the hotel. Man, you guys were cracking me up, all just sharing a bed. Doing the Gut Reaction, man. It's a hell of a broadcast, Nosh. And Nosh with a very generous $19.99 over on YouTube. Thank you, Nosh. Hey, brothers, we will win this week and score over 20 points. Cheers. Nosh, you know something I don't? Are you one of those wise guys out there in Vegas? I might have to get with you this week. Look, Tom, you're exactly right. And I know people roll their eyes with the any given Sunday, the cliches. I mean, how many upsets happen every week? college football, high school football, the NFL. I mean, we're sitting there checking our phones, and Ron was cracking me up, man, because Ron White had the red zone package up on his phone like the whole day. So I'm just chilling with Ron, talking with people. We're watching red zone and Raiders, Ravens. Right. I mean, Eagles, Falcons, we're talking about that before the show. I'm giving Scott hell. I'm like, your damn Falcons. They're costing me $5-$10 here and there. I mean, upsets happen every week. So, Naj, you could be onto something here. If Tampa's sleeping on Denver, well, they should, because you could probably snooze and get away with it. But you never know.
Yeah, I mean, it's a lot stacked against the Broncos. Going to East Coast, playing the earlier game, you know, in the heat. They have Tampa's number, really. I mean, I think they're 7-3 against them lifetime, but the Bucs, you know, it's been a while. They were bad for a very long time. So, you know, anything can happen, but they need to get a win. They have to get a win just to get their confidence up. They have to go out there and play better. And if they can get a win in Tampa Bay, that's going to, it's going to rejuvenate the team. But if they go out there and they look like they did the first 2 weeks, and then that defense maybe doesn't play as well because the offense is better, it could be a pretty demoralizing loss.
Naj is such a good guy and has such good energy. And like, he's a good hype man. He's actually getting me fired up here. Say, we're going to run the ball this week and get some takeaways. I mean, imagine that, Broncos country. Can you imagine? Just bear with me and Naj for just a second, right? It's we're getting up early here in Broncos country, Mountain Time Zone. It's an 11 a.m. game, right? East Coast, we're grouchy. We're not quite awake yet. We're worried about our day being ruined. First snap, Javonte Williams, 5 yards. Second snap, Javonte Williams, 3 yards. Third snap, Javonte Williams breaks it for a 65-yard touchdown. I mean, like, I'm coming back to Naj, and I'm talking to Naj about any prop bets. We'll see. I mean, anything can happen, but I do love the overreaction from Ruben over on Facebook. Said, you got to tank for Shedeur Sanders. Bo Nix is a bust. Ruben, absolutely not. I am so frustrated and over and done with the Colorado Buffaloes. And yeah, they whooped up on the Rams. We were at our dinner, right? Our staff dinner the night before. And we're watching them beat up on the Rams. And that's to be expected, right? But let's just see. I want to see how good Shedeur is the rest of the year. I want to see Shedeur continue to make excuses for nasty losses against teams like Nebraska. I don't see it. I think Hunter's the guy if you want to be looking at anybody on that Colorado team. He's a generational talent. I've never seen anything like it. Maybe the Broncos are going to be there in striking distance. Head on over to milehighhuddle.com. You can read about their power rankings from Dylan Von Arx. They're hovering, I think, 2-3 from the bottom. So maybe you're in Hunter territory for next year's draft.
Yeah, but you can't give on Bo Nix now. I mean, you just can't. No. There's just you just have to hope that you see the improvement throughout the season. You hope that you see that quarterback that can
Wagner coming in saying Bo Nix out there looking like Paxton Lynch. God. And like, that's the thing, man. Like, I can't, what am I supposed to do? How am I supposed to fight Wagner right now and be like, yeah, no, Wagner, you're wrong. You remember all those touchdown throw? Wait.
Yeah.
No, but wait, he hasn't turned the ball over. Wait. I mean, that's just it. It's you can't defend it. And KB's coming in here with some positivity. He's going to throw for 4 touchdowns at 350 yards. I don't think that's happening. No way. But we know he's not going to be crying like Paxton Lynch. At least that's what Mike's saying over on the text line. It's going to be tough, and it starts with the running game. I know people are so tired of hearing it. I don't care if it's a running back we've never seen. How about Tyler Beatty? Can we get him involved? Right? Didn't he have the longest run of the day for like 19 yards or something like that? And didn't go back to him since. 16 yards, Tyler Beatty. I mean, get him the ball. Let's see something different. But it starts with the running game.
Yeah, and I'll just give one more comment about the Paxton Lynch thing. One thing I do know, and what it seems like to me, is Bo Nix is a hard worker. Paxton Lynch didn't care. He didn't care enough to put the work in, and that's why he was a bust. He had the tools. He didn't care to go out there and put the work in. So I'm hoping that the work that Bo Nix puts in shows the improvement through the year. Now, he could be a bust. There, it happens all the time. I mean, it really does. But I'm not ready to say that yet. Well, let's give him a few more games before we say he's terrible.
I would say today, September 18th, Wednesday night, MHI, put this down, mark it down, mark the audio, whatever you got to do. The Broncos are more committed to Bo Nix than they are to Sean Payton. I think that's where we're at. And if things don't go right the next couple of years with Sean, I think you can expect, if something drastic doesn't happen with Bo Nix and he just proves that he can't play football anymore, like what's going down there in Carolina, right? With Bryce Young. I mean, just absolute craziness in the league, a Paxton Lynch scenario. Someone else will try. I don't want to give up on Sean just yet, but something has to change. Scott Hansen coming in here with a much more realistic take, I think, than KB's four touchdowns, than my 65-yard rushing touchdown for Javonte to start the game. One safety and three field goals. Yeah, that's got to be the key, and it's probably a little bit more likely and probable that that happens than the Broncos score a rushing touchdown at all in the game against the Bucs.
Let's hope that they win the game no matter how it happens. If it's a bunch of safeties and they win 8-3, then great. I don't really care. Just get a win. I would like to say, I want to comment on your hypothesis that they're more committed to Bo Nix than Sean Payton. Well, they're both kind of tied at the hip. But the thing of it is, they can get rid of Sean Payton. When you're rich as they are, they can eat that contract. It's not going to make a bit of difference. It doesn't hurt the salary cap. They can move on from him without any repercussions other than they gave up a lot to get him. So yeah, I think you might be right to a certain extent that Bo Nix's fate maybe isn't tied to Sean Payton, but Sean Payton's fate definitely is tied to Bo Nix.
When they're doing each other no favors right now, at least two weeks in, that is for damn sure. Mike coming back in over on Facebook. Thank you so much, Mike. Great show tonight. Thomas, Luke, and Scott on the Mile High Insiders, and go Bo Broncos. Yeah, I'm not saying you should be embarrassed to wear your Bo Nix jersey. You shouldn't. It's Friday. People are still wearing their jerseys around the Mile High City on game week, and I absolutely love it. And we should be excited to see what a young first-round quarterback can do. We still don't know Bo Nix. We're getting to know him. We're getting to know some of the bad things right now. But it's a hard league. It's a tough game. It's hard to win at home. It's definitely harder to win on the road. I am excited. Stay tuned. I will have a new article up, Keys to Victory, tomorrow or Friday morning over on milehighhuddle.com. If you'd like to reach out to Tom directly, that's at Thomas Hall NFL over on X. Yours truly at Luke Patterson LP. If you'd like to reach out to Scott, that's at Scout Kennedy. Don't forget to tune in to Nick Kendall and Scott Kennedy's Broncos for Breakfast. The Mile High Huddle podcast boys will be back tomorrow night at 6 p.m. Mountain. Always good seeing everybody at the meet and greet. Big week. The Broncos cannot afford to go 0-3. I don't care if it's on the road. I don't care if they're big dogs. I don't care if they're playing Baker Mayfield and Mike Evans and some of the world beaters, right, over there in Tampa. They've got to figure out a way to win the game just to keep the fan base alive, just to keep any spirit alive, just to keep Bo Nix's confidence alive this Sunday in Tampa Bay.
Yeah, and if they come back from their road trip 0-4, you're going to see ticket prices for the Broncos get pretty cheap for the rest of the year, most likely, because that's just doom for this team. They've got to figure out a way to get a win, at least one win on the road while they're out there on that East Coast trip. They have to. It'd be great if it was in Tampa, because that's something to really build on. That looks like a pretty solid team in Tampa right now. So that'd be a good stepping stone if they could do it. I'm not holding out a lot of hope for it to happen. But yeah, man, it would definitely help the confidence, and it would help the fans get a little re-energized.
Well, and as Mike comes in here over on Facebook Country, Broncos Country, this is the way, with some orange and blue love. We really appreciate that. It was a great show tonight, guys. Head on over to the mothership, milehighhuddle.com. Check out our home Twitter at milehighhuddle, facebook.com, milehighhuddlepod, mhhmerch.com. If you'd like to get your swag on, stay tuned to Friday. We make our roundtable picks. You can read all about Thomas Hall and yours truly, how we see the game going down in Tampa over at milehighhuddle.com. Broncos Country into Tampa Bay. This is the way.
Head on over to milehighhuddle.com for all things Broncos.
Hey, it is Ryan Seacrest. There's something so thrilling about playing Chumba Casino. Maybe it's the simple reminder that with a little luck, anything is possible. ChumbaCasino.com has hundreds of social casino-style games to choose from with new game releases each week. Play for free anytime, anywhere for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Join me in the fun. Sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com. Sponsored by Chumba Casino. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply.